Welcome to the Discover Marion, Kentucky weekly podcast produced by the Crittenden Press and brought to you by Marion Tourism Commission. Find great things and plenty of activities in Marion, Kentucky. I'm Chris Evans, editor and publisher of the Crittenden Press, and this week's guest is our good friend and Emmy-nominated entertainer, Tomes, who is with us by phone from New York, New York, in the Bronx, to be exact. Welcome, Tomes.
What's up, Chris? What's up, everybody?
Well, you know, we're starting to thaw out here, I guess. It's been pretty nice this week. What's the weather in New York?
It warmed up a little bit yesterday. It was like 55 degrees, but I'm not into the warm. I like it cold. I don't care if it's single digits. I like it better that way.
Yeah. You would have had a great time here last week when we were zero then.
Yeah, I got to get down there.
I don't think you've been to Marion in the dead of winter, which our winter only lasts about 2 weeks here. Oh, that's right. You were snowed out.
Well, there really wasn't a lot of snow, but, you know, I guess, you know, the fact that there was snow. Anyway, we'll get to that.
Not a lot of snow for a New Yorker.
Right.
Yeah. It seems like snow shuts things down here pretty quick. So, yeah, last time you were in, you've been down. How many times have you been to Marion?
Three
times. So you've become somewhat of a de facto Marion resident then, you know, with three visits down here, and you were given the key to the city, I think, by the mayor. You know, you hang out with the mayor.
Yeah, that's my man right there, Jared. Yeah, man, he gave that to me. That's pretty cool. So I'm on my wall, and I have two patches from the police department down there. I went to the police station and met everybody there, and they were cool, man. That's not the kind of thing we do in the Bronx. We don't go meet the police chief and all that stuff. But yeah, they were real cool down there.
Yeah, a little more strife between everyone and the police there. You know, things down in the Upper South are a lot different, probably, than there are anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not hanging out with De Blasio anytime, huh? But you.
I wouldn't be. No.
We won't go there then. So.
So,
you know, this is an indeed a friendship that's quite unlikely between a rapper from the Bronx and Marion, Kentucky, which may be, you know, probably more suited to the outlaw country type music guy. You know, it makes more sense if somebody from Texas has befriended us. But we have this an entertainer yourself. You know, how did all this come to be?
I got an email from, I believe it was someone from the school, from the high school down there, that they were playing one of the songs that I do with Gangsta Grass. It was called Put Your Hands Up High. And I think the football team down there would play it during the halftime or something like that. That was what was in the email. And they asked if I wanted to do a drop. And a drop means that I would record something here in my studio to say, hey, go Rockets, and this is Tones from the Bronx, and I want to say, go Rockets, like you'll hear that in the speakers. But see, I had a different idea. I said, man, there's a school down there that's playing my music. I thought it would be a better idea to go down there and surprise them, you know, surprise the kid at halftime, and just, you know, jump out on the field and start performing. I said, man, I wish something like that would happen when I was in high school. And so there was a woman that was running it down there, and her name was Serena, and I was in contact with her, and I flew down there to surprise them, and it ended up in the newspaper, mm-hmm. And, you know, not to rehash it that much, because this wasn't the greatest feeling in the world when I got down there, but, you know, there was some people that didn't want me to perform, mm-hmm. And, like about an hour before I was supposed to go to the school, it was canceled, and I wasn't allowed to perform. And, you know, I wasn't too crazy about it. I didn't understand why at first, and I was talking to Serena about it. She was actually real broken up about it, and then people just started hitting me up and explaining to me what had happened. Now, I could have easily just said, you know, I could have went on a rant, and just said, oh, these Southern people, they treating black people like this and that, this and that. But what I did was, I said, well, that sounds like a chosen few. That doesn't sound like everybody. You know what I mean? So what I did was, I just put up a tweet, and I apologized to to the school. I apologize to all the good people down there. That sorry for those few people that, you know, did what they did for me not to perform. And I guess it just turned into this big thing, you know, where everybody was like, oh, he's so cool. We're not all like that down here. And, you know, and I said, it's all right. And then it ended up on the news. Mm-hmm. And when it ended up on the news down there, I was in a hotel. I think I was in, where was I at again?
I think you stayed in Eddieville.
Yeah, so I was going out to the lobby, and everybody was staring at me, and I was like, well, you know, it wasn't like I was that shocked, but then when I looked at the TV screen, and I looked and I seen my face, and I said, oh, there was a news clip, and I seen some guy saying, oh, we found out some information that we thought it wouldn't have been a good idea. I was like, come on, man, I knew what that was. That was a smoke and mirrors. And then, you know, so unfortunately, the show didn't happen. I believe I remember some kids. I remember I said I felt like Kevin Bacon at Footloose. And somebody at the school started playing the Footloose song. And I know the people from the school, the people that worked inside the school were angry at that. But I thought it was funny. And all the kids just started playing my music in their cars. I just thought it was, I mean, you know, in their parents' cars or who I was picking them up, they just started playing it. And I just thought that shit, to me, that felt like, man, they was rallying behind me. So I felt like a little connection right then and there. Like, man, these people, like, really supporting me performing, and they were real upset. And so that was the first time I went. And I decided, you know what, I'm going to go back down. Which everybody was like, what are you going back down there for? They don't like you. I was like, nah, it's not everybody. It's just some, you know, some boneheads that, you know, that don't realize that, you know, those days, you know, should be over and are over in most places. But, you know, I went back down, talked to Serena again, and we made it happen. And we performed that, I performed that Foles Hall to almost a sold out crowd. And I didn't charge. I didn't charge to play that show. I went down there, you know, for nothing. And the kids got a chance to see the performance. And the guy that was the mayor at the time was there. And everybody was taking pictures. And it was a good time. And ever since then, I said, man, you know what? I think they got, y'all got a bad rap down there. Pun intended. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like that people think that everybody down in that area is just a bunch of redneck racist or something. I'm like, nah, man, it's not like that. I sat in the house, I went to people's homes and had Thanksgiving dinner with people down there. I was like, man, this is, y'all not like that. I mean, I'm sure there's people down there like that, but not everybody. So I just, and then I just stayed in touch with everyone from down there over the years. And when I went back, the third time I went, was, I think it was a year ago, a year and a half ago, and that's when I met Jared. And man, that's one cool dude, man. That mayor down there, that's my man right there. He's real cool. And we tried to make it happen again. And then it snowed about an inch or something. I don't know, it wasn't even that much snow. And they shut and the show didn't happen. So I went down there, and unfortunately, it didn't happen.
Your story, it's a microcosm of what goes on all across our country, I think. And I think that's part of our problem now. You know, just get to know one another and see that we have a lot more common ground than anybody really realizes in there.
Yeah, I mean, since some of the music I do is based with country music, and I blend it with hip hop and bluegrass and stuff, you know, with gangsta grass, you know, I got a chance to meet a lot of people that probably could give two craps about hip hop. Mm-hmm. And they'll tell me, like, I'll look in the crowd and I'll see like a 75-year-old man, like, hey man, you know, I don't listen to that hip hop stuff, but I love your stuff. And I'm like, man, thanks. And then I'll look to the left and I'll see like just a random kid, or I'll see a street kid, or I'll see like, you know, a 65-year-old woman. Then I'll see a girl at 17. So it's like brings it all walks of life. But you know, when I got a chance to get to, I know a lot of people down there. Like I communicate with a lot of people in Marion. You know, I met a lot of good people, and we stayed in touch. Over, you one of them, of course. I mean, you the big homie, Chris. You know that.
So we do stay in touch, and we converse quite regularly. But you know, just like you're talking about the gangsta grass, I mean, it just crosses so many cultures, and I love it. It's a great sound, and you know, it does. It kind of brings talk about diversity and bringing people together, and that's just an awesome way to be able to use your talent.
Well, I always felt like music did that anyway. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to understand, like, I've always said that hip hop has done more for race relations than anything, than some of your biggest, you know, activists. Mm-hmm. People don't like when I say that, but I'm like, look what happened at the hip hop concerts. You got, you know, more white kids than black kids at mm-hmm. the concert. You know, when the concerts get really, really big, that means that you crossed over. That's why that term crossed over became so popular. That if you can put out when you put out a hip hop album, yeah, you might sell half a million or maybe a couple of hundred thousand, but as soon as you get into those millions, that's when you know you crossed over. Mm-hmm. And you went and you crossed over into the other world, and these little kids, you know, little white kids or little, you know, they just, or whoever, adults or whatever, they gravitate to it. Mm-hmm. So I believe it brings people together, depending on what you're rapping about, of course, but, mm-hmm. you know, but the blend of genres is even better.
So let's talk a little bit about your career now. You're really kind of starting to branch out more. I know you're doing some acting and some modeling. Is that right? Did I see where you posted that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I get those offers from time to time. I'm not really big on that, but I had a couple of offers, and you know, we're gonna see how that pans out. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not really something I'm diving into. But when the offer comes, I'll see what can happen.
But this acting gig, you're starting to get more of that. You enjoy that, right?
Yeah, definitely. I enjoy that a lot. Nothing's more than music, but I definitely that. So when things get back in the order, I'll do more of that. Because I did some episodes of Justified. I was in a movie that was filmed in Madisonville, Kentucky.
Right.
And I got a lot of friends over there as well. And I'm part of a company over there called Big Body Pig Productions, and I'm in one of their films, so I'm cool and with people over there. That's not that far from Marion, right?
No, just 45 minutes an hour away, sure.
Yeah, so PJ Woodside, the whole clan over there, got nothing but love for them. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they embrace me as well. So
you mentioned Justified, and let's talk just a little bit about that, because some of our listeners may not be aware of your background, but your song, Justified, was the theme to that series that was on, what cable?
FX.
FX,
well,
yeah.
Yeah, it's called Long Hard Times to Come. That's the name of the song. And it's me and Rich, he formed Gangsta Grass, but we brought Gangsta Grass to the forefront with that song, and that's where the Emmy nomination came from. And the television show was on for 6 seasons. Actually, it's about to get syndicated, and you can catch it on Hulu now as well. And I did some acting in a couple of episodes. I can't remember exactly which episodes, but, you know, I talked my way into that.
And so, Rich is the guy you do Put Your Hands Up High, that song with, too, is part of
Instagram. Yeah, well, he does all the music.
And what does he play? He's got a banjo and whatever.
Rich plays everything, man. He produces. He plays the instruments. He plays some instruments, or he'll hire people to play it, but he also produces it, meaning that he orchestrates where things should go. He mixes them himself. Mm-hmm. When I do my work with him for my project, I do all the mixing and stuff. Mm-hmm. But when I do stuff with him for the Gangsta Grass projects, you know, he handles that.
And is he a New Yorker?
He's in Brooklyn.
Okay. So
I'm in the Bronx, he's in Brooklyn.
Yeah. So you've worked with a number of other high profile artists. What name a few of those guys and what you've done with them?
About a year ago, I teamed up with, a couple of years ago, I teamed up with Tommy James. He was a rock legend, Tommy James, and Sean Dell's there from the 50s and 60s, and 70s. And the guy sold over 100 million records, so you know, that just goes to show you where he needs to be. You know what I mean? Rock and Roll Hall of Fame or something. But we linked up through a mutual friend, and I did 3 songs on his album, and actually one of the songs I'm on was a remake of one of his platinum records, which is called Dragon the Line. And we did that. Mm-hmm. And I rapped on it. And Stevie Van Zandt from Bruce Springsteen's band, he played a solo guitar on that. So that album came out last year. It charted pretty good on Billboard. And I also designed some of the album cover on that as well. So
you're an artist as well. Are you a computer-generated type artist?
For my newer project, I'm working with Artemis Pyle from Lynyrd Skynyrd. He's a good friend of mine. He's on the album. I don't know if any Skynyrd fans are down there, are they?
You know, I bet you could kick one or two out of the bushes.
One or two out of the bushes. I know that's sarcasm, man. I'm sure they have the Kentucky, man. Are you kidding me? I'm sure they love Skynyrd down there. But,
yeah, they're packed in here like sardines, to be honest with you.
Yeah, man. That's my that's a good friend. I met him in 2013, and we've been friends ever since, and we finally got a chance. So it's just me rapping over his drums. It's real, very unique. Also have Vinny Mad Dog Lopez, who also is a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. Because Artemis Powell is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, too, with Lynyrd Skynyrd. But Mad Dog Lopez, he played with Bruce Springsteen, and he's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with Bruce Springsteen. And I got Tommy James on there.
So where can people find this music you're talking about?
Well, it's not out yet. The stuff I'm doing now.
Okay.
The one I just told you about comes out on March 7th. But all the other stuff, the Gangstagram stuff, all the stuff, the Tommy James stuff, it's all online. You can get it anywhere.
Yeah. Now, have you ever cut an actual record, or is it all your stuff online? Through podcast?
Maybe like vinyl, like discs?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, back when that was, when people were buying those, yeah, I've had records on way back then.
But nobody's doing that now.
I mean, people are kind of making vinyl versions of their albums, you know, some of them are. Mm-hmm. But mostly everybody's digital.
Yeah. And so it's available on iTunes and places like that.
iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever you could, wherever you think of it, there.
Get your music, yeah. So tell us a little bit about what it takes to produce a song, you know.
Man, hang on. Do you know how long that'll take? That's like saying that. You got that car? Well, tell us how you made it. Every screw, every bar.
Let's boil this down. I mean, you have a studio, I think, in your home, right?
Okay, I'll give it to you like this. I record my vocals over the music. I mix them and release them. How about that?
That's what I'm talking about, brother. So that, and you're a one-man show sometime, right?
I'm a one-man show with everything. Mm-hmm. Everything I do is just me from the recording myself. I mix everything. I have a home studio. I mix it. I master it. I make it sound good. I do the artwork. I upload it to distributed companies. I handle the marketing and the promotion out of my pocket. I do it all, man.
But when you collaborate with these other artists, now do they just send you their tracks, or what do you? How does that?
Yeah,
work?
They send me the music. I'll lay my vocals on it. If they want me to mix it, I will. If not, I'll let them handle it if they, you know, depending on how it sounds, and I'll approve it. And then there it is.
Yeah, cool. All right, so we're going to kind of close out here, but we're going to play a game, okay?
Well, first of all, we got to get to the other thing.
What's that?
What am I doing for Mary Kentucky recently?
Oh, yeah. Almost forgot about your big deal. So you're giving...
That's not a big deal to me, man. Like,
you're throwing money away down here, right?
Oh, see, now you see. No, I'm not throwing money away. I mean, it's a little bit of money. I just, you know, I know people are going through some rough times, man. And I know, like I said, I communicate with a lot of people in Marion, and I know some of them are not doing well. So, you know, I throw them a couple hundred dollars here and there. So I did it. I think I did it last month, and I'm going to do it again next month. So I usually just tweet it out, and you post it up, and Jared shows some love. And I just randomly pick someone. I don't know who I'm picking, but whoever comments, I just randomly pick someone, send the money to Jared, and Jared gets it to him.
Yeah, so they just have to make a comment on, it's all on Facebook, right?
All they gotta do is, when Jared posts that thing up, or if I tweet it up, all they have to do is comment their name.
Yeah.
They don't have to tell me what they need it for, they don't have to do any of that. Yeah. Whatever they do with it is up to them, but, you know. I mean, believe me, it's not a lot of money, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But it's not Monopoly money either. This is the real stuff.
No, I mean, a couple hundred here and there, 150 here, 150 there. Like I said, it's really not a lot. I mean, yeah. when I come back down there, we can do something really good for people. For some people down there, like give away like 500 or 1,000 or something, or some lucky family or something.
Yeah.
When I get back down there, I'd like to do it in person.
And we need to get you back here. I know we've worked on that, the community, some of the folks who... schedule those type things, have worked on it, and a couple of times, just kind of falling through for crazy type, you know, things that come up.
Well, the thing is that I think a lot of people look at it like, oh, where are we going to throw a concert at? It doesn't always have to be a concert. Like, I can, you know, I could, you know, perform some stuff somewhere, but the main thing is the we can do that.
So we're going to keep working on it. And yes, the community has warmed up quite well to you since that first experience and exposure. I think that even some of the hardcores maybe have come around, the people who aren't real rap fans.
Yeah, they don't have to be rap fans. They can hate rap, but that, you know, but that, I mean, I could, if you drive a bus, I could be like, man, I can't stand bus drivers, but Chris is a cool guy. Like, it doesn't matter what you do most of the time. But you get, like you said a little while ago, you get to know somebody, you know, what they do for a living won't bother you.
Yeah. Okay, so we're gonna play the game to close things out here. I'm gonna do this too. So I'm gonna give you a music genre, and then you tell me what's the first thing that pops into your head, whether that be, you know, an entertainer or what you did in that genre or why you don't like it. Just anything. You just react to it. So we're going to start, and I'm not going to include hip-hop, okay? That one's out. We're taking right off the top. So just traditional pop music.
Britney Spears,
all right. Country music.
Man, first thing pop in my head with country music, Kenny Chesney,
all right. Rhythm and blues. R&B, yeah.
Man, you're going down the path. So many, it's like everything's popping in my head. Patti LaBelle.
Patti LaBelle. All right. Now this one of my favorite genres, reggae.
You said reggae?
Yeah, Bob Marley.
Oh, come on, man, Bob Marley. We need dreadlocks. Everything comes with that.
Yeah. All right. Heavy metal.
Oh man.
All right, and to close this out, last but not least, and this is going to be a tough one, classical music. We're really going to challenge you on this one.
Beethoven.
All right, good job. I would really stump my toe on that one probably, but I enjoy classical music, just do not know much about it. So we've enjoyed our conversation today with Tony. Yeah, hey, let's continue to try to make something happen and get you back down here. And in the meantime, keep sending cash.
You're a funny guy, man. All right, well, let me shout out everybody down there that's always showing love. My homegirl, Cassara. Jared, of course. That's the big homie, Chris. You know what's up. Man, there's so many people down there. But, you know, everybody down in MK, man, I'll see y'all soon.
All right. Well, we appreciate you being here today on the Discover Marion, Kentucky weekly podcast produced by the Crittenden Press and brought to you by Marion Tourism Commission. Hey, stay warm up there in New York.
Nah, man, we're trying to keep it cold, but I'll talk to you soon.
All right, brother.
Marion and Crittenden County offers camping, fishing, and boating on two major waterways and the uniqueness of a working Amish community. Revenue collected through the restaurant and lodging tax allows the Marion Tourism Commission to proudly promote the Clement Mineral Museum, Crittenden County Historical Museum, a championship disc golf course, recreational park, and RV sites at Riverview Park.